hear the word of God.
And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in the desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we consider this text tonight, as we consider Jesus' interaction with this leper, you'd make it abundantly clear where we stand in the story. We are the leper. And I pray that you would open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf. I pray that you'd be in my head and in my thinking, in my heart and in my understanding and in my mouth, in my speaking. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. And amen. Well, we've been looking at the book of Mark. And remember, if you were here last week, we basically ended a day in the life of Jesus. And the way the day ended, remember, Jesus healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And the evening that he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law, the whole city came of Capernaum. The whole town, it says, came out. And they were in Peter's yard, I guess. And so they came, and Jesus healed many, and he cast out many demons. And after he had done this, we assume he went to sleep. And the next morning, it says he got up before dark. And before dark, he went out to a desolate place and was praying. And during this time of prayer, apparently, people were still gathering at Simon Peter's house. You know, imagine, you know, look when people, like when a new video game is launched, you know, people with lawn chairs and, you know, 6-inch TVs waiting for Jesus to wake up and to be first in line to be healed again. He wasn't there. And Peter and the other James and John and Andrew went to look for Jesus, and they found him out in the desolate place. And if you remember, Peter basically rebukes Jesus. And he says, "Everyone's looking for you." And the implication is you need to get back there and start healing people. And Jesus says, "No." He doesn't say it just like that, but he actually says his intention. He says, "Let's go to the next towns so I can preach, for that is why I came out." So Jesus will not go back to Capernaum, he says, because the reason I came is to preach. And so instead of going back to heal those people, we're going to keep moving so I can preach. And then the very next story in this text, is it should catch your attention. He meets this leper. In other words, it says that Jesus went around preaching, but Mark put these stories next to each other on purpose. So Jesus says, the reason I came is to preach. And what is it that could make Jesus break his stride, if you will? What is it that could make Jesus stop from this preaching tour and just stop in his tracks and deal with something? And it's this leper. And this story is so important that Jesus' interaction with the leper effectively ends his preaching ministry. So something about this leper is important enough to make Jesus stop. And important enough that it's going to end his preaching ministry. Jesus had to have known that, and yet he stops and interacts with this leper anyway. What is it? What is it about this guy that is so special? And the answer is, he's a leper. We're going to look at three things tonight. We're going to look at the scandal of leprosy. We're going to look at the scandal of grace. And then the third thing is a call to decision. That's what the end of this text is about. What's the scandal of leprosy? If you look at the very first verse, it says, and a leper came to him. What does it mean to be a leper? A leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling him. And the leper says, if you will, you can make me clean. Or if you want to, you can make me clean. Notice he didn't ask him for anything. I talked about last week that really what praying is all about is telling Jesus. You tell Jesus, and by telling him what's going on, the request is implicit. He tells Jesus, if you will, make me clean. And that is one of the biggest, most bold statements in all of the Bible. And here's why. Because if you look at the Old Testament, the worst possible thing for you to be besides dead was to be a leper. In fact, to be a leper was to be dead, functionally speaking. And what's interesting in the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, specifically chapters 13 and 14, in chapters 13, there are at least, depending on how you count them, there are at least 20 different ways for a priest to go about diagnosing leprosy. You see, we tend to think of leprosy, we tend to think of countries like India, or if you're like me, the first thing that comes to mind is the movie Papillon. Remember Steve McQueen in Papillon, and he meets the leper that's sort of a gangster, and he picks up his cigar and smokes it, and the leper says, "How do you know I wasn't contagious?" And McQueen says, "I didn't." Right? You're like, oh, that's pretty bold. It's not just that kind of leprosy. In the ancient Near East, any kind of skin ailment, any number of things would be considered leprous to them. It wasn't just what we technically would term in Western United States leprosy, the specific disease. So any of various different kind of diseases. So in Leviticus chapter 13, there's about 20 different skin ailments or things that could get you the diagnosis of leprosy. And then what's interesting, when you get to chapter 14, so it's easy to be diagnosed as a leper. And then in chapter 14, there's a lot of different rules and laws governing the way someone is proclaimed to be clean from leprosy. In other words, if someone is clean, here is how you're supposed to go about making that official. Now, what you have, though, is a sort of leprosy gap, if you will. In other words, you can diagnose someone as having leprosy, you can diagnose someone as having been cleansed from leprosy, but there is nowhere described how do you make someone clean. There's a gap there. And the reason there's a gap there is because in rabbinic tradition in the Old Testament, the only person that could heal leprosy was God himself. In fact, leprosy was grouped with one other thing that was the purview of God and only God himself. There are two things that only God can do, and that is to heal leprosy and to raise the dead. And so if you've got leprosy, you are in bad shape. Because the priest can tell you you're in bad shape, and the priest can tell you you've been healed after the fact, but what about in the middle? What does it mean to be a leper? Let me read to you just after all these diagnoses. So assuming you've had one of the 20. After all this, the priest has pronounced you unclean. It says in verse 45 of chapter 13 of Leviticus, "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, let the hair of his head hang loose. He shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." So if you had leprosy, what did that mean? Well, for one thing, we tend to forget, it was probably painful, right? For one, you had a disease, so that had to be bothersome. But you were a complete and utter outcast. Not only were you an outcast, you were literally declared to be an outcast. And when you walked through the streets, you were bound up to let people know that you were an outcast and to shout, "Unclean, unclean." You had to live outside of the camp. And eventually, when they started building, you were not allowed to go in to the city of Jerusalem. You literally were banned from contact. So how did you feel about that? You might have felt rejected. You might have felt alone. You might have felt anything. But what you were, practically and emotionally, was you were utterly and completely hopeless. You were. What could you do? Here you are. The only thing that can make you clean is a direct act of God. What do you do? What most people do is that you just live this life in misery. You live this life being rejected. You live this life with this disease that no one understands and isolates you from everyone else. And then you hear of a guy who might be able to heal you. You see, the scandal of leprosy is it isolates you and it separates you from everything that is good. It separates you from community and makes you feel abandoned. It makes you feel rejected. By the way, leprosy in the Bible is a metaphor for something else as well. Can you guess what it is? Sin. You see, why do you think the Bible would equate leprosy with sin? Rejection with sin. Not being able to be healed by anyone but God himself, but sin. What do you do then? It's no good for you. You see, anyone can proclaim you clean, or anyone can tell you what hoops to jump. In fact, Christianity is the only religion I know that doesn't tell you that. You see, anyone can tell you, you know, if you can do all these things, we might be able to proclaim you as clean. But no faith can make you clean. All they can do is tell you the hoops to jump. Is there any faith that can actually accomplish what it can pronounce? Is there a faith that can actually make happen what it's able to declare after the fact? And there's only one. And it's the one that revolves around the person and work of this guy, Jesus. Notice what the leper does. The leper goes to Jesus and he says, if you will, you can make me clean. That is one of the greatest statements of faith in the whole Bible. Because the leper has to have known, you know, we can only speculate about what his life has been like. Maybe he's tried, you know, he's been down to Mexico to try special healing things, all these kinds of things. And he goes to this guy, Jesus, and he doesn't say, you know, I saw you healing other people. Do you think you could do something for me? The leper has come to some conclusion in his mind, and he's actually so humble, he's not even willing to ask for it, but he simply says, you, if you will, you can do it. I know that. There's no question in my mind. If you want to, you can do it. That's the scandal of leprosy, is being in a place that's so helpless and so hopeless, you don't know where to turn. But fortunately, leprosy is not the only scandal you see in the Bible. The other scandal you see is the scandal of grace. You see, the reason that I think this leper was so important to Jesus, that he stopped him in his tracks, is because this leper represented every single person. This leper was like this living metaphor of what all humanity is like. And it's interesting when you see Jesus' words. Listen to what Jesus says to him. The first thing, before he says anything, he says, moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I will be clean. The first part where it says Jesus was moved with pity, that's actually not a very good translation. But the reason it's not a very good translation is because the language there is almost impossible to translate. And people usually take one side or the other when you're translating, biblical scholars, and I need to throw them a bone, because this word sometimes means outrage. It sometimes means indignant. On the other hand, sometimes it means compassion. And so biblical scholars argue back and forth saying, well, the context of this in the Greek means it should always be angry, or the others. And it makes me wonder when these guys are translating the Bible, if they've never had kids. Because if you've had kids, or even if you've been a kid, it's easy to understand what it means here when it says Jesus was moved with pity, or he was moved with an indignant compassion. You know, if as a parent, you know, in our house, for example, have you ever told your kid not to do something, and then they do it? But worse than that, you tell them not to do something, and then they do it, and they get hurt in the process. Right? A few months ago, one of our kids, she's short, and I thought, don't climb on the counters. Be careful, you know, because she's short, so she climbs up on the counter. You're going to fall, right? I'm an eye parent, which means I'm always afraid they're going to lose an eye. You know, if you climb on the counters, you're going to fall. And one night I'm sitting down watching the news, and I hear this tremendous whomp. And I go running in the kitchen, sweet little girl falling on the ground. And at the very same time, I was furious, and I was moved with pity and compassion. Have you ever felt that way? You don't know whether to kill or heal? That's the emotion that is being communicated here. So on one hand, Jesus is angry and indignant. On the very same minute, he is also compassionate and moved with pity to heal. But he's probably not indignant at the leper himself. He's indignant at what has made the leper a leper. And it's this thing called sin. That Jesus, at the same time, he's angry at sin. On the other hand, he is moved to do something about it. And what he does in this text is amazing, because you see other places in the Bible, when someone is blind or something, Jesus, sometimes he just speaks. Or someone will come and say, my daughter is sick, can you come and heal her? And Jesus says, go home, she's been made well. So obviously for Jesus to heal someone, he doesn't need to touch them. And in this case, if Jesus, anyone seeing Jesus touch a leper, that would have been scandalous. Why? Because to touch a leper would have been to make yourself unclean. And yet Jesus says to this, he doesn't say anything. It says, moved with indignant compassion, Jesus touched him. That's before he said anything. He didn't have to touch him. Why is he touching this guy? And I think the answer is simple. You think you're unclean, but you're not so unclean that you will push me away. You're not so unclean that I am not willing to touch you. You're not so bad that I'm not going to come and help you anyway. In other words, it's just like with our sin. Some people, the sad thing is, some people don't come to Christ. They don't come to know Christ, not because they think they're too good, but because they think they're too bad. If Jesus really knew how I was, he wouldn't forgive me. If Jesus knew the things that I'd done in secret, he wouldn't have anything to do with me. And if you ever have any question about that, read this text to yourself. Jesus reaches out and he touches the leper. If you want to, you can make me clean. And what does Jesus say? Now, let me think about it. He puts his hand on this guy and he says, I want to. I will. In other words, he doesn't say, I'll think about it, or because you ask nicely. Jesus proactively, he says, if you want to, you can. And he says, I want to. I want to make you healed. Be clean. And then what does it say? Immediately, the leprosy left him. You see, the scandal of grace is that grace pursues those who are hopeless, and grace pursues those who know that they can't help themselves. This leper knew he couldn't help himself. And the scandal of grace is that grace, God himself, pursues the humble, and he pursues the lepers. And the scandal is that all the good people stand around going, who does he think he is? I've worked my whole life to get that kind of treatment, and yet I haven't. That's scandalous, and that's true, because grace is scandalous. Grace, by definition, is unmerited. So what is Jesus? You see the scandal of leprosy, you see the scandal of grace, and the last thing you see here is a call to decision. And that should become clear when I point that out. Look at the next thing Jesus says to him. It says in verse 42, immediately he was cleaned of leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Another translation of that might be for an accusation against them. So Jesus heals the person and he says, now see to it that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest. And it's amazing to me how much time people spend arguing, because the guy does. He goes out and tells everyone. And most people, when they talk about this, talk about whether it was right or wrong for him to go telling people what happened to him. And I think to ask that question, you're missing the point completely. Because the guy has been healed of leprosy. In other words, just by walking down the street, he couldn't help but people seeing and knowing what's going on. So there must be something else going on here. And really what's going on is Jesus is out Pharisee-ing the Pharisees in order to make them have to decide whether or not he is in fact who he says he is. You see, in the ancient Near East, when someone was healed of something, there was this, Jesus is following the letter of the law. Don't tell anyone until you go tell the priest, show yourself to them so he can declare you clean, and that will be a proof against them or an accusation against them. In other words, remember what I told you at the beginning? Who is the only person who can heal a leper or raise the dead? It's God himself. And so now here you have a guy that everyone knew had leprosy. Jesus has healed him. And now Jesus says, go back to the priest and have him declare you clean. And so now imagine the priest who has been saying, this guy, Jesus, we got to get rid of this guy. We got to kill him. He thinks he's God. And this guy who everyone knew had leprosy comes in and now he's completely clean. And the guy says, Jesus said, you now have to let me jump the hoops so that I can be declared clean by you. And that then puts these priests in the very precarious position. Because if they do proclaim this guy clean, they're basically saying that Jesus is who he says he is. And if they don't proclaim him clean, they'll be just seen as a bunch of idiots. Because he obviously is clean. And so by sending him back to the priest, Jesus is actually putting himself right squarely in front of the priests and saying, what are you going to do with me? It's a call to decision. Because if you see that this guy is clean, only God can do it. So if you believe that he's clean, which he is, you got to embrace me. Are you going to not? Are you going to regard? Are you not going to? Or are you going to reject me? It's a call to decision. And yet we don't see what happens. We don't even know if the guy ever goes back to the priest. Instead, what it says is that, but he went about and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in the desolate places, and the people were coming to him from every quarter. I don't know why it doesn't tell us why what happened when this man went to see the priest, but I know what it made me think of all the time. You see, if you're as a church, any church, you know what any church is, or what I'm looking at now. I'm looking at a leper colony. The church is a leper colony full of healed lepers, and full of healed lepers that have been made clean. And if you had been healed by leprosy and someone came in the back who had leprosy, what would you do? Would you scorn them and say, they're unclean, I got mine? Or would you go to them and you would say, let me tell you how my leprosy was taken away. Let me tell you how I was made clean. Let me tell you who healed me, who actually reached out and touched me. I didn't have to jump any hoops. I didn't have to do anything. I just asked. I said, I know you can do it, will you? And he did. You only do that if you understand that you are a leper who has been made clean. And the reason our church and any other church isn't as effective as it ought to be at bringing in those who are outside is because we really don't think we're lepers. You see, you're either a leper or you're a Pharisee, and there's really no in between. And the question is, do you really understand that Jesus has made you clean? And if Jesus has made you clean, who are we or anybody or any church to tell those who we perceive to be unclean that they can't come? Or who are we to stay away from them? I mean, there's another lesson there from Jesus. So many times Christians, we avoid people who are morally reprehensible, at least to us. And I always ask myself, why? I don't. The only reason you would avoid them is if somehow you would think that by touching them, you would be made unclean like they are. And the glory of the gospel is that if you're a Christian, there's nothing that can do that to you. If Jesus makes you clean, you are clean indeed. And if Jesus can't clean the worst of sinners, he can't save you. He can't help you. You're hopeless. I know I told this story, I think, several years ago, and I'll close with this. When Judy and I lived in Atlanta, We were asked to plant a church in downtown Atlanta, and people were recruiting us pretty heavily. And it's just like in the business world, people, you know, if they want you to plant a church in downtown Atlanta or downtown, you know, basically someone who's like a recruiter will take you down and they'll wine you and dine you and tell you what a great place it would be to live and what a great place it would be to plant a church. Well, we were living in Atlanta at the time, in near Buckhead in Decatur, and I grabbed my buddy Paul Warren. Many of you have heard him preach here. He's in Baltimore. And I said, Paul, come on, let's take a bus downtown Atlanta. I want to see what it's really like from the ground. I don't want a recruiter telling me. And as soon as Paul and I took a bus downtown, we got off the bus, and a young black man, very handsome, very muscular, came up to me and asked me for a dollar. And I said, no. I said, but we're going to lunch. I'll take you to lunch if you want to go to lunch with us. And he said, all right. And I said, so what's your name? We're walking. And he said, my name's Anthony. And I said, what do you do? And he said, well, mostly men. And I said, come again? And he's a male prostitute. And frankly, that caught me off guard, to be honest with you. But not as off guard as it caught him when he asked me what I did. And we were walking along and went to lunch and talked to him about the gospel. And I say it tongue in cheek, made the mistake of giving him my card and saying, call me if you ever need anything. Right? It wasn't a mistake, by the way. So that was when the Olympics, I forget what year, 1996. That was when the Olympics were in Atlanta. So it was a few days after that. Remember when the guy set off a bomb at the Olympics? I got a call at about 7 in the morning, and it was Anthony. And he said, Pastor Tommy, he said, the police are sweeping through Piedmont Park and the rest of the place, about all of us who live there, and they're going to put us in jail until after the Olympics because of this, just because they don't want us around. Can I stay with you? And right, and that's one of those decisions where you think, should I ask my wife or not? Should I ask permission or not? And I forget whether I asked permission or not. Judy's pretty gracious about that stuff. I went and got him. And he came and he stayed with us. I remember we were having turkey that day, and he ate about the whole turkey. We gave him clothes, gave him everything. And the girls, I remember, would run up to him, and they would sit in his lap and ask him to read Green Eggs and Ham. And he just didn't know what to do. And at some point that night, I went out on the porch, and he was out there crying. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, how could you let your children touch me? And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, do you know how bad I am? Do you know how sinful I am? And at that point, it was my turn to cry. And I started crying, and he said, what's wrong with you? And I said, Anthony, if Jesus can't help you, he can't help me. I said, we're going down together. And he was so overwhelmed with that, he didn't even respond. He went and picked up his clothes, and he left. He didn't know what to do with grace. And the reason for that is because there's nothing you can do with grace but receive it. And the question is, are you willing to receive it? Do you see yourself? Do you look in the mirror and go, do you know how bad I am? And then, but in the same breath, Jesus says, yeah, I do, actually. And I'll finish that. You know, the interesting thing, when the leper would have gone to get cleansed by the priest, you know what the priest would have had to do? He would have had to slaughter a lamb as a sin offering to atone for the sins that had brought this guy's leprosy on. You see, the beauty of this whole picture is that Jesus is telling this guy, now I just cleansed you. Now I want you to go see a living picture of what I'm actually going to do to cleanse you on the inside. The way Jesus takes away our sins is he becomes that leper on the cross, takes away all our sins, and gives us all of his righteousness in return. Think about that. Let me pray. Father, I pray that you would just keep ever before us both our need for the gospel and the gospel itself, Jesus, who reaches out and touches us. No other religious teacher makes anything remotely, claims anything like this, and yet you, God, in the person of your Son, came and you actually touch the worst of sinners and make them whiter than snow. Work that deeply into our heart. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen and amen.